Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show that focuses on people and organizations making a difference here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us right now is the CEO and president of the Sunrise Association, Arnie Priminger. How are you doing, Arnie?
I'm doing good.
Well, first of all, thanks for joining us, and let's talk about how the Sunrise Association has made a footprint now in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You guys just did an event, and you're also about to deliver some toys, some arts, and some crafts to a kid's hospital this coming week.
Yeah, we've actually been working with a number of companies down in the Dallas area, including Five Below,
yes,
and the Dallas JCC, CW33, the local Aflac office. We've been doing this in September because it's Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and our organization provides free day camps and a lot of other services in hospital, virtual camps, virtual programming for children with cancer throughout the country. And so we've really been focusing on Dallas for the Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. We've already collected, or we think we're going to collect, about 2,000 items to bring to four of the area hospitals in Dallas.
Nice.
That serve children with cancer. And we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
You say the mission for the Sunrise Association is to bring back the joys of childhood to children with cancer and their siblings worldwide. You guys started on the East Coast, and now you're all over the country. Can you talk about how you thought that camps, day camps for kids in particular, kids with cancer, could help them feel better and bring them joy and also, give them some reason for being included and having fun?
Sure. Up to 2006, when we first started, there was not a single full summer day camp in the world for children with cancer.
Wow.
There were, you hear a lot about sleepaway camps, and they're wonderful camps, and they fill an incredible need. But not every child is going to be comfortable going to a sleepaway camp, and especially when a child is very young or when a child has recently been diagnosed, that's going to be a real hard push.
Mm-hmm.
For the parent, for the kids. They're in treatment. Sometimes the treatment is 5 days a week. To go away and to be away from your parents and your doctors and, at that moment in time, it just doesn't work. And so we wanted to provide an alternative, which we did. So we started Sunrise here in New York, where I'm talking to you from right now, back in 2006. It was the first full summer day camp for children with cancer, and we also included their brothers and sisters.
Ah, that's very smart, because they give them a comfort level.
Yeah, it's that, and it's also that, people don't realize it sometimes, but the sibling of a sick child is very often left out. Nobody means to do that, but
yeah. There's
so much energy, right, and so much,
right,
so much parental attention being focused on the child who's sick, that the children, who are not sick very often become, sort of like the invisible children.
Mm-hmm.
And so, when we were starting up the camp, we spent a lot of time talking to parents of children who had cancer, to social workers, to child life specialists, doctors, and they basically, the theme that we heard over and over again was there's nothing for the siblings. And we said, okay, so we'll make this for the siblings too. So we started in 2006 with 96 children in a single camp here in New York. It just became so clear how important this was that we started working on expanding, and we have now started, we've put camps in up and down the East Coast. We even have three camps in the state of Israel. These are all non-sectarian camps open to all children, whether it's in the United States or overseas. And we are now moving into Chicago in 2023. And we're looking at Dallas as a possible hub for a new camp, hopefully in 2024 as well.
That is absolutely fantastic. I also note that you have a master's degree in social work. So you've always been involved with people. You're a people person. But you've also been involved with a lot of camps, summer camps and camps for kids. Can you talk about your history a little bit? Because this is right in your wheelhouse. This is something that you do.
Well, this was really the key piece for me. I started working in summer camps when I was 19 years old, back in 1976. My goodness.
And flies.
Yeah, it sure does. But that was my love. As soon as I stepped foot in the camp the first day and I started working with kids, I felt that this was something that I really wanted to do. It was that moment in time, right, when we were searching for ourselves. We're 19. We don't quite know what we're supposed to be doing. I was a political science major at the time in college and, you know, couldn't quite find a niche for myself. And this was it. And so I started working in summer camps. And eventually I moved into the JCC movement, the Jewish Community Center movement, because that was where the summer camp I was working in came out of. And so I wanted to do more and, you know, and grow in that field. So I eventually became the CEO of a significant Jewish community center in New York. And that's actually where the Sunrise story started, because we became aware that everything that was being done for these children were sleepaway camps.
Right.
And we really felt that, you know, it's very hard to do a day camp for children who have a specific illness or a specific issue, because they're scattered. You know, it's not like, you know, we open up a day camp in one area and, you know, we pick up children from a 50 block radius or wherever it will be, we'll bring them home at the end of the day. But for children who are sick with a particular disease or a particular illness, they're scattered. It could be that you pick up one child at home and then the next one lives 20 blocks away. So it's easier to do a sleepaway camp than it is to do a day camp. But in the greater New York area, there was such a significant number of children with cancer that we were able to put a day camp together and bring them back and forth, you know, in a given day. And we can only do these in high population areas. But Dallas fits the bill really nicely as well. You have four hospitals in the Dallas area that have pediatric oncology units. They're all strong and they're all active. And so that tells us that there is a population to be served as well. So that's why we're kind of dipping our toes in the water in Dallas and, you know, taking a strong look. We're actually working with the Dallas JCC to see whether or not there may be an opportunity to do something like this in Dallas as well.
We love what you're doing, and I'm really fascinated about how you were able to actually make this dream a reality, because, like you said, it's easier to do a sleepaway camp or a camp for kids that's, you know, out in the woods somewhere, and they go for a week and then they go back home to their parents and families. But how did you break down how we're going to get this thing? And you've been around since 2006, so you've got the formula down. But please tell us about how, you know, the trial and errors, because I can imagine how difficult that might have been, even if you were in high population areas.
Well, you know, we started with the fact that we were part of an organization at the time that knew how to run good summer camps.
Okay.
The JCC movement, you know, has over 100 JCCs around the country. And one of the things that they do is that each one of them runs mostly summer day camps. And so, you know, this was something that we had a good handle on. But we hadn't, and we had the campgrounds that we were able to utilize. And it was within driving distance of the hospitals that the children, you know, were being seen at. So, you know, logistically, we knew how to put this together. The issue for us was that we had never run a medical camp.
Okay.
And so we had to put together great resources. And so we started with the hospitals and formed an advisory board of hospital personnel, again, of parents. We visited sleepaway camps for children with cancer. We visited some of the great organizations around the country that do work with children with cancer, and we brought on a strong medical director and a strong medical staff that would guide us through the process. You know, and like with everything else, as you said, you know, this trial and error a little bit, you learn as you go, but we, from the very beginning, we set up an incredibly safe program and facility to make sure that what we were doing would not in any way, you know, create a problem for the children.
Sure.
We wanted them to be able to, what this is all about for us is that we want them to be able to experience normal childhood. And summer camping is so much a part of that. It's where you make friends. It's where you gain confidence. It's where you learn new skills. It's where you form some of your best memories. And these kids don't have that chance. They grow up in a world of adults. You know, they're constantly surrounded by doctors and parents and teachers and homeschool and, you know, things like that. And they need to be among children. And so, you know, this is our total focus, is to give them a great summer experience. Or if we come into the hospitals to work with the kids there, as we do in many hospitals around the country, to just give them a childhood experience. We don't talk about cancer. You know, we don't talk about the illness. If they want to talk to us, they're welcome to. But we never initiate a conversation in that area. The only thing that we try to do is to give them an opportunity to play and to grow and to share and to learn.
We're talking with Arnie Preminger. He's the CEO and president of Sunrise Association. Sunrise Association and the Sunrise Day Camps have been in existence since 2006. And again, I'm absolutely fascinated about the journey you guys have been on to do this thing and replicate it on different locations around the country. So I'm assuming you have buses, or you have partnerships with some buses, and this is only for summertime, or are there some camps in different locations that may be going further than summer, maybe going to the fall or in the spring?
It's primarily summertime because that's when kids tend to go to camp.
Right.
But we do have one exception, actually, in our Israel camps. We do a camp during the Passover Easter holidays.
Okay.
Because the kids are off from school then. And we're actually talking with a potential partner in Florida right now about possibly doing a winter camp, because it's actually easier for the kids to be outside in that hot weather,
right,
you know, in the winter than it is in the summer. So it's something that we're looking at. But primarily these are summer camps, and, you know, we work with bus companies, of course, as you said. You know, we have to rent space and find land, you know, to be able to run these camps. It's a significant expense. And the one thing that I would tell you, and I would love your listeners to really understand about us, is that in the 16 years that we've been in operation, we have never charged a family a single dollar for any of our services. Every single thing
Fantastic.
That we do is free.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, we were talking about, you guys have been around since 2006, and I've had different guests on. We've talked about, I'll just call it the phrase that everybody talks about, the pivot during the pandemic. We're on the backside of the pandemic, but at the height of all the COVID activities and the 2000 and 2001, every organization, especially all the different nonprofits, had challenges, and they were able to overcome it and also find things that worked even better for them coming out on this side of it. Can you tell us a little bit about what you guys had to do and had to deal with, especially at the start of the pandemic when no one could actually be together, so to speak?
Sure. You know, the pandemic for us was probably the most frightening moment, and it was also the moment that we shined the best.
Mm-hmm.
If you recall, at the beginning of the pandemic, New York was a major hub for coronavirus.
It was an epicenter,
It was frightening here, and nobody knew what we were dealing with. And conventional wisdom would tell us that if a child has a compromised immune system, they are going to be more susceptible to this type of a virus. In the end, by the way, it turned out not to be true, which we don't really necessarily understand from a medical point of view. Imagine that some of the doctors who work with us have a better handle on this than we do, but these children are responding to coronavirus the exact same way that children who are not dealing with cancer and don't have the compromised immune systems are, which is that it tends to affect them less than it does adults, and we're very thankful for that. But in 2020, we had no idea what that was going to look like. And so we had to close down all of our live operations. We closed down our offices like everybody else did. But what we did is we said, okay, what do our families need at this moment in time, and what can we provide? So the answer was, number one, this was an emergency. This was a crisis like we had never seen before. How do we help support them? So we reached out to our donor base, and we got gift cards for basic essentials like groceries and things like that we were able to help out the families that were most in need. Because, you know, what people don't always understand is if you have a child with a chronic illness like cancer, One parent has to either cut back their hours significantly at work or stop working altogether to get the child to treatment. If it's a single parent family, the economics of the family are going to be destroyed.
Right.
And so we deal with so many families that, you know, are in need, regardless of what economic strata they may have been on. And we needed to deal with essential needs right away first. The second thing that we did was we set up an information referral service so that our parents could find permanent help, because we were only a temporary band-aid for things like that. But then the question became, so what do we provide for the children? We're not going to be able to run in-person camp, so how do we do camp, and what do we do with all of our in-hospital programs? At that point, we were running 42 in-hospital programs a week. We call them Sunrise on Wheels.
Wow.
We kind of take a giant tie-dyed trunk from that looks like it came out of the 60s, and you open it up and it's filled with toys and games and
nice.
All these things that kids can do, so that when they're waiting for their chemotherapy, we take the fear out of it.
Nice.
And we didn't have that available to us anymore. We couldn't go into the hospitals.
Mm.
So what we did is we pivoted into the virtual world, and we started creating these short things that we could send to the kids that they could watch on their phones.
Okay.
While they were sitting in the outpatient clinics and waiting.
Right.
And from that, then we developed virtual camp. And the virtual camp, so we had just about 1,900 children, I think, coming to camp in 2019. And we ended up with about 1,730 kids coming to virtual camp. So that was a pretty good retention, considering that we had gone over to, you know, a whole new arena.
Yeah.
But what we found, Chris, was that the kids who came to virtual camp were so they were so excited by it, first of all, because they had been isolated,
you right.
know, for almost, you know, 6-7 months at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But also we were seeing while we were running virtual camp sessions that we had children who were signing in from bed, or we had children who were signing in from hospital rooms. And these children wouldn't have been able to come to camp on those given days anyway. And so it said something to us that maybe there was a need that needed to be met even when COVID, you know, started to subside and we went back to in-person camping. Maybe we needed to still mm-hmm. be doing virtual programming. So we became very lucky. A man named Richard Ross and his family gave us $1 million gift to open up a new part of our programming called Sunrise Studios. And so we created a studios in-house where we can film from. And now we are showing, we have a project, we have virtual camp.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a project year-round now called Wheels Up, which basically we work with American Airlines. And we take children primarily who are in hospital beds. We get them out of their bed in their heads, if you will.
Sure.
And we take them on a travel experience somewhere around the world every week, somewhere new. But we do it based on what children would love to see. So we show them how birthday parties are celebrated around the world. And
oh,
we'll show
goodness.
Them, right, parades around the world. And we show them, you know, all 12 Disney parks around the world.
Yeah.
And it's all geared for kids to just give them a chance to not feel sick and in the hospital for a half an hour a week. And it's right now it's shown on just about 70 closed circuit TV hospitals around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And all four hospitals, again, in Dallas, Children's Medical Center in both Dallas and in Plano,
mm-hmm.
and Cook Children's Hospital and Medical City
Fort
Children's
Worth.
Hospital, all of them
yeah.
are showing this program. And that was actually our link that we started looking at and to get involved with the Dallas hospitals and do this toy drive that we'll be doing next week.
This is so fascinating, especially because the way you've utilized the technology coming, like you said, out of this side of the pandemic. It's like all of a sudden you realize you have opportunities and tools. You weren't frustrated. You weren't quitting. You were fighting through, and you had the wherewithal to say, okay, let's come up with some things. And you found out that you could reach even more kids who couldn't even
yeah.
go to the Sunrise camps, the day camps. And so I find this all fascinating because in this day and age of technology, I'm sure initially a lot of this was like through Teams or Zoom where you were doing mm-hmm. like virtual, like the kids do the
yep.
virtual learning. But I bet, and I know, I can tell by the way you've been talking, Arnie, for some reason I feel you're kind of innovative. And I'm thinking, you're probably thinking, you know what, there are probably some opportunities for you know, virtual reality situations or some Oculus or some 3D. Because all kids love to do gaming and things like that nowadays.
We've actually been looking at that. We started looking at that right before the pandemic. And, of course, as the pandemic hit, we needed to go to, you know, what we could provide for the kids instantly as opposed to, you know, developing something over time. But we are working, it's a great point, and we are working on virtual reality because can you imagine what better way
to
take kids out of the world of, cancer, again, you know, even for a short time. I mean, that's what we try to do across the board, is to just get them out of the cancer world, get them out of their headspace, and let them feel what it's like to be a kid. Without these worries that they have to have all the time.
Exactly, because, you know, kids nowadays, they're so smart, especially when it comes to technology, especially when it comes to social media or any kinds of forms of information bubbles that they're in. And their friends are all active, whether it's TikTok, social media, gaming, video games. I could go on and on and on. Technology, they know things. Look, all of them can do things. Every kid is their parents' and grandparents' tech support. That's the reality of it all. And meanwhile, what we have over them is not all of them can write in cursive, but we got that over them. So I can just see what you're doing as far as, you know, physically, you know, the kids are fighting cancer, but mentally they can still do just about anything their friends are doing.
Right, right. And you know, and if you structure it right and you put in the safety protocols that need to be there, well, most of these kids can do a lot of things physically also.
Yeah.
And when we design a camp, we design it, you know, for every child in mind. So we know that there are children who are going to have physical limitations. We know that there are children who are not going to. So, for instance, when we build a playground, it's handicap accessible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're in a wheelchair, you can still get onto that playground.
Yeah.
But it's also built for those children that are feeling good today. And they can do all the things that everybody else can do. So, you know, it's always, everything has to be thoughtful and everything has to be purposeful. We never just put anything in place.
Right.
We think about it. We think about the outcomes. We think about how the children are going to use it. We think about what the problems might be, and then we build it. And I think, you know, while in the pandemic we built very fast because we needed to respond at that moment in time, I think we built it well, and we built a strong structure that has allowed us to be able to now service children who don't live near enough, not enough to our hubs, so they can't necessarily go to one of our summer camps, but they can still participate in a summer experience.
Exactly. And obviously, you know, you're always doing things to innovate and you're always doing things to make it even better. But apparently what you've been doing so far is so well run, it's replicated, and you're able to do this. How many different locations around the country again and Israel?
So right now we have 10. We'll be opening the 11th in Chicago in 2023. That's just camps.
Yeah.
We have, you know, our Wheels Up program is in 70 hospitals across the country. Our Sunrise on Wheels program, which is our live in-hospital programs, we have 43 of those that are operating. So there's a lot of programming that goes on for these kids, whether they're in the hospitals or out of the hospitals. Again, we just want them to feel like kids, even if it's just for a short period of time.
I'm sure over the years you've had kids who were in the camps who somehow or another either wound up being volunteers or worked with your organization because this is what they love to do as well because they were so well taken care of.
Absolutely. You know, we got to a point, I guess, a couple of years back where we started realizing that we had a lot of kids coming back as young adults and they were working for us now. And it's a wonderful thing. And, of course, they're great role models for the children. You know, because they survived cancer, they're okay, they're strong, and it gives the children hope as well as anything else. It also gives them somebody to talk to, you know, who really understands what it is that they're going through if that's what they choose to do.
I'm sure there's a lot of families, parents in particular, who are, you know, thrilled with the work that you guys do. How do they find out about you, or are there any stories of how you've either taken in a family or a family is shown so much love and you know, time and treasure that they've, you know, helped you guys continue your efforts?
You know, if I had a year, just
it's amazing because you've got the thing that people love.
Yeah,
you know, you're probably bashful about it, saying I can't believe the outpouring.
It's hard sometimes to think about it, and so you don't most of the time. You just keep on pushing forward mm-hmm. because you know that that's the direction that we should be going in. But there are hundreds of anecdotal, things that I could point to that families have sent us letters or cards or posted or whatever it's been. We know the impact that we're having. The families have been incredibly responsive to what we do. The hospitals have been incredibly responsive to what we do. It's really a no-brainer when you think about it, because we're not asking for anything back from anybody.
Right.
We have an incredible, incredible group of donors around the country and in Israel who, continue to support our efforts. And, of course, we're always looking for more folks to do that. But, we we've never asked anybody to pay for anything. You know, if families are able to, of course, they give back in whatever way that they can. But for the most part, this has just been a labor of love for us. And the families have always made it clear how much they appreciate it, which helps us. It gives us a little bit of more energy to be able to move forward when we realize how much good we're doing with them.
Tell us the story of how Dallas-Fort Worth got on your radar. I mean, we really appreciate what you're doing with the hospitals down here and all this, but how did, out of all the different places in the country that, like I said, you got Chicago coming up, but how did Dallas-Fort Worth, North Texas get on your radar? Because there's always a story where you got a phone call or you had some friends down there, or someone said, you've got to come, and it's taken some years.
So for many years, we kind of had a map of the country on our computers, and we had identified probably about 20 or so major hubs in the United States
mm-hmm.
where we knew there was a significant number of children with cancer where we could possibly set up a day camp, or at least in-hospital services. And over this past year or so, we've been very lucky. We've gotten a lot of new support from organizations and foundations that really want to see us push forward. And so we were down to about 17 cities in the United States that we knew had, significant numbers of children with cancer. You generally find it in population centers of a million or more. And so Dallas has always kind of been on our map. But, it was a matter of whether we had the resources to do it. And now, we sort of do. So we're starting to look at maybe opening four more full-service cities in the next 4 years. Again, Chicago being the first one that we're going to be concentrating on in 2023. And Dallas is one of them that we've been looking at. We had built a relationship with American Airlines on the Wheels Up project.
Mm-hmm.
And so their hub is in Dallas. And so they've been, very not pushing us towards it, but, they made it aware.
Encouraging, how about that? Is encouraging
exactly.
A good word? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do mean it that way, because in no way did they ever try to make us do anything that we weren't ready for. But they would love to see us in Dallas. And so, and they said that they would help us with this toy drive, something to, again, dip our toes into the water and see how the community responds. And we started working with Aflac this year, and they have offices in Dallas. And then we got involved with Five Below.
Mm-hmm.
Five Below actually in 42 of their stores in Dallas, they're collecting the toys for this toy drive that we're going to be delivering on Wednesday of next week. So they're there. CW33 got involved with us.
Oh yeah.
And then our old friends at the Dallas JCC, we asked them mm-hmm. if we could kind of use them as a storage point to bring the toys to. And they said, you could do more than that. We'll sign staff and we'll help you and all that. So we suddenly had this great partnership. And then, I wish I could tell you how, because I don't always know the hows. I've got mm-hmm. an incredible staff who figured these things out. But Brill and Jason Garrett, Jason
yes.
is a former Dallas Cowboys
yes, he's a
head
good
coach.
Friend. Yes.
Yeah, well, they said that they would love to participate. And so they're going to be delivering the toys in person to Medical City Children's Hospital and seeing some of the kids while they're there. So that's just, when we started putting all these pieces together, it just seemed like not only was it doable, but it would be wonderful. And, and what I love most about it is that it's a local effort. We're spearheading
yes.
it from our end, but these are people in the Dallas community who just want to get these things to the kids and make their lives a little bit brighter. It's not Christmas time. It's not a holiday time. It's nobody's birthday. Those are the best times to give gifts, right? When
exactly.
When there's no special reason for it except that it's the right thing to do.
You know, Jason is beloved in this town. He may not be the Dallas Cowboys coach any longer, but everybody's always known he's a great man. And his wife, Brill, they've been doing a lot of things down here in this area for a long, 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 long time. I'm so glad that he's one of your representatives. And like I said, I'm really glad that you guys, you know, like I said, toeing the water down here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Before we let you get out of here, and by the way, we're talking with Arnie Priminger. He's the CEO and president of Sunrise Association. Is there any other message that you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Well, I guess the two things I'd love to say is that, first of all, we're thrilled to be, you know, stepping into the Dallas community, and we hope that we'll have that warm Dallas welcome, because we're, you know, the more that we do in the community, the more we hope that we'll be able to help those kids. And the second thing is, if you want to learn more about us, if you want to become a supporter, if you'd like to get more information, just go to our website, www.sunriseassociation.org, and you'll see our story.
Yes.
There's all sorts of ways to contact us, and we'd love to have more people involved from the community.
It is fantastic. The website is absolutely brilliant as well. It's easy to follow. It's all the information you ever want to know and how you could be a part of this great organization, the Sunrise Association. Arnie, again, thank you so much for joining us.
You're so welcome.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
And joining us right now is Jeff Fayless. He's the Executive Vice President of the American Cancer Society. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing great, Chris, and thanks for having me on today.
Oh, for sure. Now, I'm having you on because next Saturday, the 15th, at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington, the formerly Globe Life Park, is going to be a great breast cancer awareness activity. It's going to be a Making Strides of North Texas Walk. Can you tell us a little bit about this particular activity?
Absolutely. This year's Strides event, as you mentioned, will be taking place Saturday, October 15th. At Choctaw Stadium, and we open early. Registration starts at 7:30, and the walk starts at 9. And we're happy to be out in Arlington and around that great facility celebrating.
Now, this is going to be interesting. Let's break this down just a little bit. You say get there early. You're expecting about 1,500 to 2,000 people there.
Yep.
It's going to be a beautiful weekend. I've already heard the word. It's like, okay, it's going to be wonderful weather again for the umpteenth time in a row. The month of October has been kind to everybody here in North Texas. So
It's been wonderful.
That area over there with Globe Life Field, formerly Globe Life Park, which is Choctaw Stadium, AT&T Stadium, yep. Texas Live, everything over there is like so cool. And you got the little miniature park there. You've got all kinds of walking areas. Can you talk about the walk itself? Because it's actually going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we actually encourage people, you know, we'll have our course we're going to walk around the stadium. But, you know, the good news is now versus, you know, you think about it, I remember just when the ballpark was out there, is there's so much more to do. So you can make a day out of it.
Yes.
So come join us. Help us celebrate, you know, breast cancer survivors. We get to play tribute to loved ones, you know, and raise a lot of money in support of breast cancer research. So come join us. It's an emotional time, but it's a time to celebrate.
And, exactly.
You know, it's meaningful to me, Chris. You know, I tell you, I lost my mother to breast cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And in 1998, it's a big reason why I'm at ACS. But I understand what it's like to lose someone to breast cancer and be a caregiver. And it's difficult. And you know, we fight for all the other moms and daughters and grandmas out there to, you know, make sure that they don't have to go through what I did as a son. And so please come out and join us on Saturday. And look, you already called it. We're going to have good weather.
Yes.
So, you know, October's a wonderful month. You know, it's pink special to me, but it gives us a chance to really celebrate survivorship, celebrate the advances we've made in treating breast cancer. But it's really, really a special and meaningful time.
You know, I think a lot of people, it's over the years, it's now soaking in that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And there's a lot of, in the world of sports in particular, a lot of people wearing pink, or they'll have some kind of pink to represent and show that maybe someone in their family was affected with breast cancer. Can you talk about your partnership with the NFL in particular? Because they have the Crucial Catch, and I think the Dallas had a Crucial Catch event just this past Sunday or a couple of Sundays ago.
Yeah, this last home game was the Crucial Catch game where we get a chance to honor survivors. Now, in Crucial Catch has evolved. You know, it started as just pink, but what Crucial Catch, and you know, it's really about intercepting cancer. We talk about all cancer. And so you see multicolored ribbons now. Pink's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Pink's special because it's October, but you see all the other colored ribbons represented because, you know, what this relationship with the NFL has been so beneficial to us.
I can imagine.
And it really brings a lot of attention and hopefully awareness, and it's all designed about prevention and early detection. And even more so is, you know, every year, and we've raised $24 million with Crucial Catch since 2009, but we invest those back into each of the NFL communities in the form of what we call change grants or community health grants. And what it's all about, creating access for those who don't have it today in order to get screened, to be educated. Through this relationship with Crucial Catch, you know, we've gotten over 600,000 folks screened that maybe didn't have the means, the ability, or you know, the opportunity before. Mm-hmm. And we've provided over 1 million people with prevention and early detection education. And with the whole point of, if you can get screened early enough, your chances of survival with most types of cancer is far better. So we, along with the NFL, who carry a big voice for us, which we love, is a great opportunity for us to encourage people to get out, get screened, talk to your doctor, but do it, you know, when those recommended screening times are available and per our guidelines, at what age you should do it.
Jeff, can you also talk about, and I don't know if you know a whole lot about it, but can you talk about, there also are rare occasions where men get breast cancer?
Absolutely. And I've, in my role, I've talked to a number of heroic men who have gone through a breast cancer diagnosis. And while it's, you know, it's not as prevalent, it's certainly there. And when we talk about breast cancer, we're talking to both men and women. Because it's really important to kind of know your body, make sure you're getting those screenings when recommended, and always be in communication with your doctor. But you know, one of the most important things we tell women all the time is, you know, the recommended screening age for mammograms is 45 years old.
Right.
You do not, you don't need symptoms to get screened.
Exactly.
You should be getting screened long before you have any symptoms at the regularly scheduled time. And it could even be a little bit earlier should you have any family history or anything mm-hmm. that your doctor might recommend you get screened earlier.
You know, you mentioned you lost your mom back in 1998. A few years ago, I lost my aunt Donna, and she was one of my favorites. And when she got breast cancer, it literally came out of nowhere. It was like, whoa. I mean, she was gone before we knew it. It was like what she found out she had breast cancer, and we thought, well, maybe she might lose a breast. But then it just happened, and it cost her life. Can you talk about how different people have actually come together? Not because they've lost somebody, but maybe because they were able to save some people as well.
Oh, well, it's funny. We've got a current we've launched an initiative called Grab Your Girls.
Yes, where women go together.
And we are, you know, and the power of your family and your friends is second to none in terms of having the encouragement, having the discipline to say, hey, it's time to go. And what Grab Your Girls does is you get a collection of friends, family, your gal pals,
mm-hmm.
come together, and you got set, you know, you all make a commitment that we're going to get screened by this date. And so everybody keeps everybody on pace.
And accountable.
And accountable. Look, everybody gets busy. And we recognize that. But I will tell you, as a result of the pandemic, we saw a 6% decline in people either deferring or skipping screenings in relation to breast cancer. Okay,
and
across, that's 6% doesn't sound like a big number, but when you factor the, you know, across the United States, that's 2 million women that did not get screened, which means the chance of detecting a cancer early has passed, and it could go to later stage, which makes it that much more challenging to treat. And you know, my mom, you know, she battled fearlessly. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, you know, she was cleared twice, but it, you know, metastasized and ended up, you know, getting into her brain, and it was too much. But I will tell you, she fought like hell. And you know, she told me and looked me in the eye and said, you know what, I'm gonna dance at your wedding, which she did in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I'm going to hold my first grandbaby, which she did with my son in January of 98. And she passed in September of 98. And, you know, she battled.
Yeah.
But I also know that that's 1998. If she were diagnosed today, I think she'd still be with us.
Right.
You know, and she'd be spoiling all three of her grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, you know, the treatments are there, the opportunities are there, but early detection is the key in a cancer battle. And if you can get in and get screened at the appropriate time, do not delay, you'll have a much better chance should you be diagnosed.
We're talking with Jeff Fallis. Am I saying your last name correct? I keep butchering your last name.
Yeah, Fallis. You're Jeff close.
Fallis.
Listen, you aren't the only one.
It's the way it's spelled, but listen, I'm enjoying the conversation with you. You're an executive vice president with the American Cancer Society. Is that when you started working with the American Cancer Society after you lost your mom, or
no,
were you always involved?
It's funny. I was a career airline guy. I actually retired from American Airlines here in Dallas, and you know, and spent a few years at Delta after that, and then this opportunity presented itself, and it was one of the things when everything gets aligned, you know, those meant to be moments you have in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, I sat down and it really got me thinking about my mom. And it really got me thinking about at this stage of my life is an opportunity not only to do this in honor of her, but to give back and to help others and other families that, have to go through a cancer battle, which is so challenging, you know, from, you know, a financial standpoint to getting, you know, access standpoint. I mean, you know, we see that, you know, breast cancer is the most commonly diagnosed cancer in Texas now.
Mm-hmm.
And through, you know, since back in, you know, I think 1989, we've seen a 42% reduction in mortality rates. So we're making progress.
Right.
Okay. But we're not making progress for everyone. And that's, you know, we, you know, our, our mission is to end cancer as we know it for everyone. Unfortunately, there are certain populations, and that could be, you know, racial, ethnic, mm-hmm. or even geography, meaning right. that the, you know, a rural population.
Yeah, rural and challenges. Urban, just different.
But even
challenges.
In urban cities, certain zip codes, and you know, we say you should, your zip code should never determine whether you live or die. You shouldn't.
Right.
And that everyone deserves equal access in a cancer battle, because cancer doesn't discriminate
no.
at all. It affects everyone. And unfortunately, you know, dealing with and having the ability to go on a cancer journey and survive it doesn't affect every, you know, it's just not equal to everyone. And so we spend a lot of our time trying to remove barriers, create access. You know, it's unfortunate. Black women have a 40% higher mortality rate from breast cancer than white women do.
It's amazing.
Okay, that's not right. And it's right. all about access, and it's all about getting screened, and it's mm-hmm. all about, you know, so many other things that go into, you know, preventing cancer. And so we're not going to rest until we can have equal access for everyone.
And you mentioned, you know, awareness and making people aware so that they know that they need to get screened and make sure that they have an opportunity to save their lives or their parents' lives or their mom's life or their grandmom's life. Someone in their family they can always help. It's just about awareness. Can you talk about, you know, since the pandemic ended, we're on the backside of the pandemic and people are out and about even more. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the month of October in 2022 and how there really is no reason why you shouldn't be involved if you were active in some degree, like mm-hmm. this event with the Making Strides of North Texas or any other breast cancer awareness opportunity that you might have?
No, there really isn't. And you said the key. Awareness is the key. And awareness yes. is not just for the person getting screened. It's their kind of circle of, mm-hmm. of friends, of family, of
right.
loved ones, that everyone needs to challenge each other. Have you gotten screened?
Right.
Have you done this? And again, it goes beyond breast cancer. You know, in terms of, you know, are you getting your colon cancer screened?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a male, are you getting your prostate screened?
Correct.
You know, all those things. And, you know, anybody listening, if you got a mom or dad, check them on it. Okay. And be diligent in that. And with your friends, your family, you know, it needs to be talked about. And you said it earlier. We got to hold each other accountable to get it done, because that's what saves lives.
Let's talk a little bit about how people are becoming aware, because we learned through the pandemic, you know, when people were isolated or doing a lot of things virtually, whether it's doing their job at home or kids learning virtually. Have you learned anything through the pandemic about how to get the message out, whether it's through social media with TikTok nowadays or Facebook or where kids are with Snapchat and those opportunities? Everybody's on Twitter, it seems. Can you talk about the forms of messages that go out and how you reach people, whether streaming services or even regular national television? We were talking about the NFL in particular.
Absolutely. That's a big part. So our crucial catch with the NFL, kind of national. You see it when you turn on football on Sunday
sure.
in October, every stadium's going to have the ribbon of those multiple ribbons across. You'll see crucial catch. Players will be wearing towels and mm-hmm. you know, gloves and patches and
shoes,
you know,
cleats.
So and a lot of them kind of, you know, they'll take
personalize
little,
it, yeah,
absolutely, and they'll honor their mom,
uh-huh.
their sister or whatever. And but okay, that's just one way. Okay, so that's a way to reach the sports fans. Okay, yes, you know, we want to reach the kids so they can reach their parents or their older siblings or their aunts, their uncles.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we want to be out on social media. But, you know, and with social media, as you know, the more viral it can go for people to start, you know, really, you know, helping us deliver those messages.
Exactly.
And reminding people. And so we see a lot of that. But then you talk about some of these other communities, the rural communities. How do we reach them? You know, and some of the urban communities and you know, my region goes from Alabama out to Arizona. But when you think about getting into this, you know, a lot of the churches,
sure.
African American communities and really be able to, you know, the key is you got to have multiple channels to reach the people you need to reach. And it can be traditional media. It can be social media, but it can be kind of old fashioned, you know, get to the groups and let the groups help, you know, kind of share your message. But everybody needs to hear it. Everybody needs to be getting screened. And there's multiple ways to do that. And there's a wealth of information that we provide through our 24/7 cancer information hotline. Mm-hmm. So you can always call any time of the day if you got a question about cancer, any specific cancer or treatment options, or, you know, we can help navigate you to where a screening option might be or that. And the, you know, the NFL and Crucial Catch now has a text option that'll provide you with, you know, what kind of, where the screening availability is around you. Mm-hmm. And again, it's, we want to try to reach everybody through multiple mediums to, you know, we got to get their attention. And that's the key, is we just got to get people's attention and say, hey, you know, if you're overdue, get in and get it done. It's just critical. We saw that during the pandemic, and we're really concerned right now. Okay, we've made such progress, and we can't let cancer get the advantage back.
Exactly.
You know, these delays and these people delaying it, skipping it, it's just not, you know, it just, don't let cancer advance to a point where it's harder to treat.
Exactly.
And, you know, we have great success. When we catch it early, you know, the chance of survival is so much higher. And, you know, and in some cases, it becomes a chronic disease for you. And that's our goal, is, you know, we want to end cancer as we know it today. You know, cancer's, you know, it's going to be around. Okay. That, you know, and cancer is, you know, it's not one, it's 200 different
varieties. Yes.
That we fight every day. Mm-hmm. And so we are, you know, get screened. I got to tell you, if you get one thing out of this, if you're listening right now, is please get screened.
Let me throw some numbers at some of our listeners. Yes, let me throw some numbers at some of our listeners. Okay, since 1989, death rates from breast cancer have declined by 40%, resulting in more than 375,000 lives saved. And you guys, the American Cancer Society, currently invest more than $71 million in breast cancer research. And in other words, you're putting up the good fight, but you can only fight it if you have the help of the people who want to win the battle.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right. And I will tell you, we've seen mortality rates overall since 1980 drop 32%. We've invested, you know, I mean, you talk about breast cancer research, but research overall, I mean, we invest more in cancer research than anybody but the federal government. $3 billion since 1991, I believe, is the number. And so, you know, and we fund early investigators. We fund people with new ideas, new treatments. And we just recently, we've had 49 of our investigators and researchers go on to win Nobel Prizes, and we just added our 50th just a couple of days ago. So we now have 50 researchers that we've funded, you know, over the last 40 years or plus, that have gone on to win Nobel Prizes. Okay, so wow. The research is there. We're investing in the talent and the knowledge and the discovery, and we're seeing the results. But we can't, if you don't get screened, you can't take full advantage of all of that work and success that we've had.
Exactly. And you know what? You guys have been around for a while. The American Cancer Society, yeah, like I said, you joined them because, like you said, after your careers with American Airlines and Delta, you said, wait a minute, this is just extremely logical. Can you talk about the American Cancer Society itself? Because you guys have been around for so long, and everybody knows who you are, and most people know what the mission is. But it's because people are aware of the great work that you do.
We are. You know, we've been around 109 years.
Wow.
Okay. Battling cancer and you know, funding breakthrough discoveries, but we're the only organization that does three key things that from a cancer, you know from a cancer society, from a cancer fighting organization, then that is, all right, we have an advocacy team. So we have representatives in all 50 states, and we have obviously in Washington D.C. where we try to influence policies that will benefit access to care, will expand coverage so more people can, you know, have access. We've got, you know, obviously biomarker, which is something that will be you know, really investing heavily in, and in from a lobbying standpoint, to get passed in the Texas legislature, legislature this year, which it's precision medicine. It allows you to really target what the specific cancer is, and you have better treatment options. And it's just another opportunity for us to get even better at finding, treating, and surviving cancer. And
exactly, it's taking advantage of the technology.
Of course it is, and but we also provide patient support. Okay, we've got the wonderful Gene and Jerry Jones Hope Lodge we opened. We just celebrated our year anniversary.
Excellent.
Okay, it sits down on the Baylor campus. Baylor has been a great partner for us in getting this built. A wonderful facility, 50 suites, provides free nights of lodging for a patient and a caregiver getting treated traveling here to Dallas. That's free, okay, for as long as you need to stay.
That
okay, it could be 3 nights, it could be 180 nights, depending on the type of treatment you're in. But we provide that lodge, but it's more than just, you know, a place to sleep. It's a community, okay, and it's a wonderful place where you're surrounded by others on a similar journey. And if you're a caregiver, you've got a network of people, and there are friendships made for life in that. And matter of fact, we were just down there with our friends from the Dallas Cowboys and Tom Thumb, who's been a great partner. And so we had Drew Pearson and Babe Laufenberg down there, and a couple of Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, and it was meaningful. We served dinner to our guests. They got to spend time, take pictures. Drew's letting everybody try on his ring. I was watching this couple who's back. His cancer had returned, and he's in a battle.
Mm-hmm.
But after spending time with Drew and with Babe and all that, I watched him go over and sit with his wife, and he just got so emotional.
Right.
And on his favorite team, he got to, take a break from, what he's going through. And he's surrounded by, by love and by people that want to help.
Exactly.
And that's the spirit of Hope Lodge. And, we're blessed to have one here in Dallas. And but not only we do that, but we provide transportation. Again, it's all about removing barriers and giving
creating
everyone
access.
An equal chance.
Yes, creating
the
access.
So we have transportation grants. We have our Road to Recovery program, which is an army of volunteer drivers. If you can't get to treatment, we'll find a way to get you there.
Sure.
We want you to get to treatment, because you go to treatment, then you've got a very good chance to become a survivor. But we do that, and we also have patient navigation in certain health systems around that allows, really gives the patient an opportunity to kind of navigate the whole process from treatment to insurance to all those things that, you have to deal with besides dealing with your cancer diagnosis. But we try to be there for you and however we can help to remove barriers, to help the process move easier for you. But again, we talked about our discovery and our research, second to none. We continue to invest heavily in new discoveries, and every day we make progress of finding new treatments, finding less invasive treatments, all the things that we need to do that will continue to lower the mortality rate from a cancer diagnosis.
We can't say enough. The American Cancer Society saves lives. They change lives. And again, all the different ways that you invest in the research, invest in the health equity, the different, the transportation, the lodging. And again, the month of October is Breast Cancer Awareness. The big thing we're talking about today in particular is the 2022 Making Strides of North Texas event. That's the walk that's going to take place at Choctaw Stadium right there, formerly known as Globe Life Park. It's right there next to AT&T Stadium and Globe Life Field and Texas Live. And Jeff, is there anything else you think people need to know as they prepare for the event, which will be October the 15th?
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you haven't signed up or registered, you still can, and we would love to see you. And you can do that at makingstrideswalk.org/North Texas. So come join us. Come register. Bring friends. Build a team. And just know that not only are we going to celebrate survivors, you get to pay tribute to those we may have lost, like myself and my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, we're raising money that we invest back in breast cancer research, which helps drive that, the continued success and the lower mortality rates and unique different treatment options. And so, again, please join us. Come on out and hang out at, you know, at around Choctaw and Texas Live and make a day out of it. And then just know that you're going to help us, and you're going to get to spend some time with some wonderful people, some brave people that have survived breast cancer. And you get to walk in honor of those we lost. And it's just a wonderful experience. And we hope everybody comes out to Arlington and joins us.
Yes, it's a very good people event. And you mentioned the teams. Can you talk, before you get out of here, can you talk about how the different teams come together? Sometimes it's family members, sometimes it's people at work, and sometimes it's, you know, people from the church. Can you talk about some of the teams that get together? Because it's fun.
I'm gonna brag on somebody that is her name is Linda Faylis.
Okay.
She
might be related to you. Yes.
But it's ironic though. She is a distant cousin. You know, and we got such a uncommon last name that you see it. Well, she used to live in Central Texas, and the Strides Walk is in North Texas. She's constantly been one of our, or not the top kind of team and fundraiser for making Strides. Then she moves out to East Texas and does the same thing.
Wow.
So she's got this core group of wonderful supporters, and they all show up and they walk. But, you know, she's just one of a number of teams just like that. I have to give her a shout out because, one, I love her. She's part of my family.
But, there you go.
More importantly, I'm proud of her because she's always on top of the leaderboard.
Okay? That's
and
nice.
So she's kind of delivering the support we need to go fund the research that we need. So, but again, they come from all shapes, sizes, organizations, families. But look, some of them get really creative in what they're wearing and how they're done. But again, it's a big pink celebration, and gosh, we hope everybody comes out to Arlington and joins us.
You mentioned the pink celebration. Can you talk again about the availability? Will there be pink t-shirts where you can purchase, or a donation goes towards the cause? People want to know about those things, because sometimes you say, okay, I don't have any pink, but you can probably get some there, right?
There'll be stuff on site that you could either purchase or again, you could go on the website. If you register your teams early, there's a whole litany of things you can, you know, get as you raise more money.
Mm-hmm.
So lots of pink Chotskis out there of shirts, of cups, of all kinds of things. And then, of course, there's be things on site that you can look at and purchase. But go by the Survivors tent, because it's just a group of amazing people that we're so proud of.
Jeff Faylis, he's the Executive Vice President of the American Cancer Society. Jeff, thanks for joining us this morning.
Chris, thank you so much for having me. This was great.
Most definitely.
Hey, by the way, so I did hear you say you got some inside information. We're going to have a good weather day.
Oh, yes. No doubt about it. It's going to be a beautiful day Saturday, October the 15th. Be there at Choctaw Stadium in Arlington. And again, I want to thank you, Jeff, and I want to thank everyone for joining me. Tune in next week as we focus on other organizations doing great things in our community right here on Better Living. So long, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez tied. the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.